Broadcasting from the historic 1047 studios nestled in beautiful downtown Valley City, it's the Toast and Jam Podcast. 30 minutes of local sports, trivia, news, and special guests. Hosted by Tim Oast and Paul McDonald. Sit back, relax, and let the fun begin.
Thank you, boys. I think most of you know who that is. We're going to tell you about that in just a bit. It's Toast and Jam, back for another weekly podcast, broadcasting from Alley Beans in Valley City. Thanks to Tim and Carol, always. I'm Tim Oster, Toast. This is Paul McDonald. He is the Jam. Yeah. A few bubbles with that jam, too. Like I said, we're going to talk about that, okay? How you doing?
I'm well, and you?
Oh, we're good. We're good.
Good.
Yeah, the heat is on, baby.
Oh, yeah. This is still not warm enough for me.
Okay, you got to... No. Up a little bit, 90s?
Mid to upper 90s, and then I'll complain.
Okay. Sounds good. I'll call you that day. It's coming.
Yeah.
By the way, Toast and Jam is great for breakfast, lunch, supper, bed lunch.
Midnight snack.
Yeah, it's yours any time of the day. And Paul, how do we listen to Toast and Jam?
Sure, right when I'm taking a drink of my coffee. You can find us, of course, on Spotify. You can find us on Apple Podcasts. And don't forget to hit that subscribe button and subscribe to the podcast. That means every time we have a new show that's uploaded by our great executive producer, Eric Kringley, you will get notified.
This is show what? 73?
I want to say this is 75.
Oh, is it 75?
But I think Eric said it might be 74.
I think I know one guy who probably knows what it is.
He knows what he's talking about.
Glenn knows what show we're doing.
Yeah, he's probably counting. He has it on the calendar.
He'll let me know after the show. Yeah. I know he will.
Yeah, but if it was 75, we were going to do a big deal.
Yeah. Well, how about 70-something?
70-something, yeah. We're in the mid-70s.
We're on the home stretch of 2 years here.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Year and a half.
Oh, boy. Thanks again to our executive producer, Eric Kringley. Does a great job for us. And we were going to have a couple of guests this week.
Yeah.
Josh Johnson, superintendent, Valley City Public Schools, going to talk about what's next with
like
the new
next
school
next or the
build.
Week after, but we will get him on here before he starts getting busy, getting ready for next school year.
I know. Boy, you know, my wife being a teacher, had a teacher in the house.
Mm-hmm.
July's over. Then teachers are already getting into it.
They're getting that mode.
Getting the rooms ready and getting their class thing going.
But it's different nowadays than it was when you and I went to school. You know, I was raised by a teacher as well. I had a teacher, then principal with my father.
Right.
But school was always after Labor Day. And so our vacation was middle of August is when we would go to Montana for our 2 weeks, middle to late August, get back maybe the latter week of August. For a little R&R before you get ready to go.
Yeah.
Now it's different. School starts August 18th is the first day of school.
Are you
this
kidding
year.
Me? How come so early?
We might have to ask Mr. Johnson when he is in the hot seat.
Yeah, that's the loaded question.
I know they think they want to work in snow days and that possibility, but middle
it's
of August?
It's getting earlier and earlier all the
is.
Time.
Yeah. Mm. Anyway.
Okay. All right. We do have another guest. I had a chance to sit down and talk with Scott Berry, Mayville State baseball coach for a long time, 40 years, maybe 42, I think. 42.
Over 40, I think. Yeah,
42, and got to see him for the first time in a long time, of course, with the cancer thing going on. And he's looking really good, and we had a nice sit down and nice conversation. We share something. Back in 1970, our Babe Ruth team from Ellendale won the district.
Yeah.
And then we went on to the region tournament here in Valley City. We beat Wahpeton in the championship there.
Okay.
That was Bill Nold and company with Wahpeton.
Okay.
And then we went to Jack Williams, 1970. Think about Jack Williams in 1970. I think it was 2 years old.
He was relatively new.
Yes. And so we went to Jack Williams, small town boys. And by the way, Ellendale, the champion of the district got a chance to pick up three players. You could always pick up players, three from the district. And we picked up Scott Berry, Craig Rusfold, and Ron Onegard, two pitchers and a catcher, of course.
Yep. Yeah, you got to get the pitchers.
That's right. So we go to state, and we're just small-town boys. We are going to Fargo, the big city.
The big city.
And I bet a lot of us never really even saw a McDonald's before, so this was our first trip to the big city. But anyway, we'll talk to Scott a little bit later in our show here. I'm trying to think here. Oh, yeah, the beginning of our podcast.
Right.
I'm going, thank you, boys.
Right.
Okay,
right.
You know who that was.
I knew him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only one, the pride of Strasburg, North Dakota.
Yep.
Lawrence Welk.
Lawrence Welk.
Lawrence Welk. Celebrating Lawrence Welk and marking 70 years in America's living rooms. 70 years. Still on the tube. They can't get rid of him. and, of course, Lawrence would say, wonderful, wonderful.
Oh, wonderful boys.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
Thank you, boys.
Thank you, boys. like we've always said, pride of Strasburg, North Dakota. I've driven by the house. I've never been in it.
Oh, have you?
Yes,
okay.
I have. Never been inside, never looked at it. But, again, some things that Lawrence and I have in common. Did you know we have something in common? We're both German, of course.
Well, right, but you have something else.
His parents were Germans from Russia. My grandparents were Germans from Russia.
There you go.
There it is.
There it is.
I think a lot of Germans from Russia kind of camped here in North Dakota.
Okay.
Yeah. Some more tidbits on Lawrence, okay?
All right.
He would leave fourth grade and work on the farm full time. He left fourth grade. Didn't learn to speak English till he was 21.
Wow.
And his dad bought him an accordion when he was 21.
Yeah.
So for years, had the band,
mm-hmm.
Lawrence Welk Band, toured the center of America.
Yeah.
Did a lot of champagne music. You know, that great champagne music. California Station was interested in his champagne music. And appeared on TV for the first time in 1951.
Okay, 1951.
Eventually debuted on national TV in 1955.
Okay.
And I guess tomorrow, I think they're proclaiming tomorrow Lawrence Welk Day.
Okay, it must be around his birthday or
Not really. I think March was his birthday, but I don't know. Maybe because of on the air, on TV.
Possibly.
That could be.
Yeah.
But, yeah, wonderful, wonderful.
I might look it up while we're chatting.
Okay, you're chatting there? Okay. In the meantime, I wish we could... Is Tim gone?
Tim I think he snuck in. He heard his name once, and he snuck in the back room.
I know, he did.
He went and hid.
Okay.
He went and hid.
Well, we're always talking about alley beans. 2 days in a row for me here. My brother-in-law, Paul, and I were on our way to Oaks, and I said, I need a coffee break. Where do you go for a coffee break? Alley Beans.
Alley Beans.
And if I haven't had Alley Beans for a week, I'm due. I'm really due. I'm overdue.
You're overdue.
And, yeah.
And now I just found out Lawrence Welk and I have something in common.
Oh.
Or have a connection.
Really?
He died on my 26th birthday.
Okay. Was it?
1992. May 17th, 1992.
He was 89, I think.
Yeah, he was born in the March 11th.
March 11th. Wow.
So there you go.
Okay. Wow. But as I know, that was a Sunday evening
show
in a lot of homes. I know it was in our house. Mom and Dad, we had to move out, and they moved in.
Yeah. Yeah. My parents had it at about that time when that started... My mother loved the Lawrence Welk show. Dad liked it, but then after Lawrence Welk, we had to watch Hee Haw.
Okay.
We're all in the family.
Boy, so was that a switch, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness, you know, and Dr. LaFave, too, President LaFave, Valley City State University, I have been told that of course, he's a clarinet player and does play, toys around with the saxophone too, but a clarinet player by trade when he first started. But he had a chance to play with Myron Florin's band back in the day at the Groton Sunflower days. You know where Groton is,
yeah,
right?
I used to east do football of, games there when I worked in Sisseton. Yeah,
east of Aberdeen.
Yeah.
So that kind of tells you a little connection there with President Lefebvre.
All right.
Valley City State University. And, you know, everybody, I think, has a tie to Lawrence. I mean, Lawrence Welk. They have a connection some way.
You got to.
We're all related in North Dakota anyway.
Right. Well, I know growing up I had adopted grandparents because both my grandparents had passed, all four of them had passed by the time I was born. I had adopted grandparents. They were from Gackle Streeter and the Strasburg area.
Okay.
So they, and they're roughly about the same age.
Very German.
Yeah, very, very German. Yeah. Very much so.
Parked their cars in the crotch. The crotch. Oh, my goodness.
Oh.
That's how my grandma and grandpa used to say it. Did you park the car in the crotch?
Oh, man.
Let's talk about alley beans.
Yes, let's.
Enough of the...
yeah, we do get too far away.
Enough of the German accent here. I'll be speaking it all day. Alley Beans, of course, our gracious host, and they've got a nice, nice selection of items. I had their special. It's some white chocolate. The top one there, the white chocolate.
Oh, it's and a their mocha. Summer special board there.
Yeah, the mocha. Yeah, pretty good stuff. I'm liking that.
White chocolate caramel mocha.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's enough to get you going.
Keeps you regular. And your sweet
keeps
tooth.
You regular, too, I tell
yeah,
you that.
Absolutely.
All right. Again, we have a couple of guests this week, and we were going to have Josh Johnson on, like we mentioned. We'll get him. We'll get him next
week.
Or possibly the following week. He's a busy guy right now.
He is, and that's one thing, you know, we were going to talk about, obviously, with the referendum passing a couple, two, 3 weeks ago. But the biggest thing is the students that came out after that big storm on June 20th spent all of the week after going around the area, mm-hmm. helping people clean up, not only the kids, but staff, parents. You know, usually they had about 75 volunteers in these groups. And just a fantastic job by Josh getting that. Actually, it was I do believe it was school board member Phil Hatcher that got it going.
Okay,
he brought it up.
Nice idea.
And then Josh Johnson kind of spearheaded it, and it went from there. But that was one of the things we're going to talk about is how the students and the faculty and staffs rallied around the people of Valley City and the area. They went outside of town to of course the Benefields really got hit hard, mm-hmm. and they went out there to help them. So just that was one of the things we were going to talk about.
And I think a few homes up at Ashtabula as well.
Yes, yes.
Got nailed pretty hard. There were some leveled homes there. And I know that the administration and everybody in Valley City, I think, is really pleased with how the people stepped up on the vote.
Yeah. You don't recover from something like that without a group effort.
Right.
And they got it.
Right. And really stepped up on the vote. And again, the kids stepping up here at the end with the storm and stuff too, and we'll talk to Josh about the next step.
I was going to help her with the door, but she got it.
The next step.
The next step.
We'll talk about that.
And there's a lot of steps. It's going to be a process here over the next several
years.
And
a timeline. A certain timeline. Yeah.
Yep. And when they target what the when they like to open and so that'll be the topic of conversation here in a week or two.
Local sports, we've got the baseball
Legion,
going on.
Babe Ruth baseball, Legion baseball going on here as we talk on the 1st of July. One of the Babe Ruth teams playing tonight for Valley City and taking on Castleton. And then Legion team, they play tomorrow. Of course, the Legion moved to the West Region this year. So they got Minot coming to town here on Wednesday to Charlie Brown Field. Of course, Charlie Brown Field, lights got damaged. That big tree that is right by that driveway as you drive out over off of 5th, uprooted and over, and now that's cut up into firewood. And so that'll be at 4:30 again, just to double check. If you are a fan of baseball, everything's been moved up an hour. Normal games are at 5:30.
Right.
They moved them up an hour because
of
no
lights. Yeah.
Well, they have them. They work. But if it got too dark out in center field, it would be there was a dark spot out in center field that you couldn't see.
Would they be pointing in all directions in different directions?
Up, not down. Because it got turned up by that wind, so it's pointing up, not down. But yeah, that's what's going on with local baseball. Of course, also the Derailers, the 18U softball team that we have here in town that play their games
what
out
is
of
it,
BCSU.
The Derailers?
They're called the Derailers, okay. The Valley City Derailers. And they are they play out of Fargo, but they get to host a few games here in Valley City. So they're going in full swing. Of course, the South Central Golf Tour in full swing. And where were you yesterday, Oaks?
We were in Oaks, and I'm sitting by Tiger Jr. here, Joe Lund.
Tiger Jr.
Yeah.
I would say he looks more like Tiger Double Senior, but that's another story. I like the shirt, though.
That's classic.
Oh,
you know?
Man. Boy, you're not very good then if he's beating you.
Yeah, I mean, I tell you what, and I haven't golfed for like a month. No, I've snuck in a few, but no. Oaks always, I don't know, there's something about that Oaks course that throws me off. I don't know what it is. I think it's the river. The James River goes right through. Yeah, it is. It's you know, I need that river to go down a little bit so my balls at least stick in the mud and I can get the ball out of the mud, but now I lose them. No, it was a good day. I think we had 73 golfers. It was a great day.
Nice.
A little windy at the end. That might have screwed up my game a little bit too. That
it was windy.
Yeah,
it
but
North Dakota. What do you expect?
You have to be. Joe says he lost to me by 10. Huh?
So win aided, you lost. So there could be a little asterisk that it was win aided.
The one part I hate about the golf game. There's one part I hate about the golf game. I can have a perfect drive.
Yeah.
Then I screw up the rest of the shots. Yeah. You know, it's always that way. Always.
It's kind of what happens to us old guys.
If it wasn't for my driving, short game, and putting, I'd be a heck of a golfer.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what my handicap is? Everything.
Everything. Yeah, there are a lot of guys out there with a lot of handicaps.
Actually, I was at one time a scratch golfer.
Okay.
After I'd hit the ball, I'd scratch my head and figure out what the heck I just did.
I love all the golf jokes. They're great. It's good stuff. Okay, well, I tell you what we're going to do. Next portion of our podcast, we're going to listen to the interview. A longtime Mayville State baseball coach, Scott Berry. I had a chance to talk to him last weekend. Scott and I go way back to our younger days, and why don't we listen to that?
Speaking with longtime Mayville State baseball coach, Scott Berry. Scott, thank you for taking time out.
Thank you, Tim. It's nice of you to stop by and visit with me, and I sure appreciate it. We've been longtime friends, and it's really, really good to visit with you.
Speaking of long time, we were reminiscing about the year was 1970. We were 15 years old, believe it or not. I think we're 20 now, right?
Yeah, we're getting close to 20 right now. Actually, to be honest, I think I'm pushing 29. So,
anyway, we both shared some fond memories back in 1970. I played for Ellendale. You played for Lemoore. We won the district. And, of course, back in the day, we could pick up three players. And we picked up you and two others.
Yes, Ron Odegaard and Greg Rusfold were also pickup players from Lemoore. And, yeah, we had a phenomenal time with the Ellendale team.
Went to the state tournament. We were probably the smallest team on the field, but we ended up playing well.
Smallest town and smallest communities. All the communities in the state of North Dakota at that time were eligible to play in the state Babe Ruth. And so when we advanced to the state tournament, there was Fargo, there was, I don't know if West Fargo had a team, but all the large communities in the state of North Dakota had representation at that state tournament. And then there were a couple of us outliers, rural kids who happened to advance and be fortunate enough to take part in that tournament.
And we ended up playing Williston in the final, lost a close one.
2-1 game. It was a phenomenal game and very well played. And, you know, we gave it everything we could, but we couldn't quite get the job done. But we were very proud of our experience. It was like hitting the big time, being able to come up to Fargo and play on their new field, which was Jack Williams at that time. And it had only been around for a year or two at that time. And we were just so pleased to get that opportunity and be in Fargo for a few days. And we stayed with host families, and it was just a phenomenal experience for us. So us little town kids just getting out of town was really, really quite a thrill. So yeah, it was a great experience.
Probably our first time to see a McDonald's, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't have any doubt about that.
Well, you went on to play at Mayville State under Al Meyer. What was that like?
You know, Al is a phenomenal guy. I know I use that word a lot, but it's the truth. He was a great man, a man of high integrity and very well respected all over the place. He spent 19 years at Mayville State coaching basketball and had a lot of success there, and coached 33 years with the baseball program, and did a terrific job. So playing for him was a real thrill. Going to Mayville State was great for me. It was a smaller town. I said I went to the big city when I went to Mayville. It was twice as big as Lemoore, but it was a great experience. Baseball was very important to Mayville State, and I just had a great experience there playing for him. He was a good man.
Okay, so in your wildest dreams, did you ever think, okay, now I'm going to take over after Al leaves?
That was a dream, but, you know, it was wishful thinking, but I didn't know that that would ever happen. It wasn't something that you earmarked for your future. It just so happened I got a job at Mayville State in 1980 and assisted the first year, and then, you know, Al left the program and it became mine. So it was, you know, it was all kind of a whirlwind. People ask you, what was that like? I said, I was so stinking busy and really so overwhelmed that I couldn't think a whole lot about who I was replacing and what I was actually doing. I was just trying to survive. So when people say that had to have been tough, to be honest, Al was wonderful to me, and there was never any pressure from him. And he certainly led interference for me, because I did come under question, of course, from the older alumni and that sort of thing. But he marched in front of me and led interference and really made my transition a smooth one.
Well, I think you silenced a lot of the alumni, I'm sure, after many, many years at Mayville State. How many years?
42 as head coach. I was there for 43 years as an employee, but 42 years as a head baseball coach.
If you had to go through all the years, I'm sure you can pick a few teams that you'd have to say is right at the top memory. Do you have one that stands out?
Well, the one that really does jump out, and I get a little sheepish when I have to talk about my teams, because how do I pick one team over the other? Because I've had so many good experiences with so many kids and so many teams that it's hard to name one. But I think you have to really point at the 2002 team that advanced to the NAIA World Series and finished fifth in the country. So that would probably be the one that sticks out the most and the one that's gotten the most attention.
So retirement, and then you're throwing a curveball again with cancer, and you're doing a great job. You're looking good, by the way.
Thank you. I do appreciate it. I said I've had so many positive comments from so many kind people. It's overwhelming. I said that cancer must look good on me or something, because they've commented about how good I do look, and it's really appreciated. And I thank them. I thank them for the support, the prayers, the cards, the visits, the letters, the phone calls, the text messages. It's all been, the people have been so good. So I'm a very blessed man, and I've been holding up pretty good here.
Well, I know you're a fighter, you're a winner. I know you're going to kick some butt on this too.
Well, I sure hope so, Tim. It's quite a battle, but I call upon the good Lord to do the fighting for me. I might be a fighter, but fighting this stuff is a whole different animal, and I've seen a lot of tough people succumb to cancer. So it's not something that I can certainly predict, but I do know this. I do turn it over to the good Lord and call upon him for strength, and I do trust him, and his will be done. So I'm all good with that.
One day at a time.
Absolutely. And it's a good lesson. It's a very good lesson. We hear it all the time, but it hits home now, especially with the circumstances that I'm in. And one day at a time is a perfect analogy.
All the years that we competed against each other, and we grew that friendship through competition. I played for Ellendale. You played for Lemoore. You played for Mayville State. I played for Dickinson State. We never got to play together except in that one state tournament. But all the years that we played against each other, there was one thing I disagreed with you.
And what was that?
What was that? I believe you're a Yankee fan.
Yes, I am. I'm a very proud Yankee fan, and I think everybody has their own allegiance, and I tell people, long story short, my dad was a Yankee fan because the Minnesota Twins were not here until 61. So being born in 1955, I grew up under, with my dad's guidance and mom's guidance, and they were Yankee fans, so it came quite naturally to me. And of course, I get a lot of grief from the Twins fans, but
that would be me.
And that's only natural. But I have nothing against the Twins. I wish them the very best. But when it comes head to head, Yankees and Twins, I'm certainly rooting for the Yankees.
One final question, Scott: who got you turned on to baseball?
It would be my dad. My dad was a local baseball hero and a legendary amateur baseball player in the state of North Dakota, and he loved it, and his family loved it and supported it, and I caught that bug from him, and then I was fortunate to receive coaching at a young age. Mark Thiel just took over the program when I was 10 years old, and I had him for 8 straight years, and he left quite an impression on me. He too was a Yankees fan, or is a Yankees fan, and so I couldn't get away from that. But those are the people that really impacted me the most on the baseball side of things.
Very good. Well, you talk about legends, and you will be a legend. You are a legend as far as Mayville State and the state of baseball in North Dakota.
Well, I thank you, Tim. You're very kind, and again, it's really wonderful to see you and to visit with you, and I wish you the very best moving forward.
All right. Thanks, Scott. Stay awesome, okay?
Thank you very much.
Once again, thank you, Scott. That was a moving Saturday. I had a great time with Scott and his wife. Great hosts. They had the caramel rolls.
Fresh caramel rolls.
Some coffee, and it was really nice. I spent about 2 hours over there visiting with Scott.
That's outstanding.
We're gonna do more of that.
Yeah.
He lives in West Fargo. I live in Moorhead. We're not that far apart, so. And like I say, we go way back.
Sure.
You know, we were competitors, but friendly competitors.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it developed into a friendship.
Lemoore.
Lemoore,
right?
Yeah. Yes. Lemoore native, yeah. But all the best to Scott. And he was looking good, by the way, too.
Yeah.
So today in sports history.
Okay.
It's right up Lundy's alley. 1859.
Oh, I bet you remember that.
Yeah, Joe remembers this one. 1859, first intercollegiate baseball game. Amherst beats Williams 66-32 in Massachusetts, in Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
Pitching was optional. Defense was optional.
Must have been slow pitch or something. 66-32. No 10-run rule either.
Were they like wiffle ball?
I don't know. Let's see, 1904. Summer Olympics open in St. Louis, first held in the U.S.,
okay.
1904. 1948, Brooklyn's future Baseball Hall of Fame catcher, Roy Campanella, debuts with 3 hits and a 6-4 loss to the rival Giants, New York Giants.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
1951, Cleveland Indians veteran hurler Bob Feller pitches his third career no-hitter, beating the Tigers 2-1. Could he beat today's Tigers?
Maybe.
They're pretty good.
But what he could do, what he was the only pitcher to do back then, everybody does now, throw 95 to 100.
Right. And on this day, 1980, British runner Steve Ovett breaks countryman Sebastian Coe's world record for the mile in 3:48.8 in Oslo, Norway. 3:48.
3 minutes and 48 seconds for a mile. It takes me that long to walk a block.
Yeah. Yeah. Mine would be 30 minutes.
That's very good.
30 minutes, 48
seconds.
And that's
running.
Yeah. You got a problem. Okay, birthdays on this day, July 1st. This is a good one. On this day, 1938, he's still alive. Mm-hmm. Billy Mills, American 10K Olympic gold, 1964. Where was he born? Or where did he live? Where was he born?
Well, I know he went to Kansas, I think, is where he went to college, I thought.
Right, but he is a South Dakota.
South Dakota, okay.
Yeah, Pine Ridge, South Dakota.
Reservation, South Dakota. That's yes. Right on the Nebraska border, yep. If memory serves.
Been through there a few times.
Okay, yeah. Yep.
Mike Tyson, 59 today.
Wow.
Youngest ever heavyweight champion, 1986 to 1990. 20 years, 4 months, 22 days.
Mm-hmm.
Born in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn.
Here's another one, another biggie. Michael Phelps is 40 today. American swimmer, record 23 Olympic golds.
Okay.
23. Wow.
Yeah,
23 Olympic golds.
23 Olympic gold
yeah.
medals. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's some other part of relays as well as individual as well.
Some other birthdays today.
Mm-hmm.
You'll like this one. Pamela Anderson is 57. You still
Does
got a chance. You still have a
the
chance.
Same.
No, no.
Not even remotely close.
Dan Aykroyd.
Nice.
72 today.
One of my favorites. Yep.
And Debbie Harry.
From Blondie?
Blondie, 79.
Okay.
79.
I don't think it's Blondie anymore.
No.
It's Gray-E.
And one more here. Princess Diana would have been 64 today.
Okay. Would have been.
Would have been. Yeah. So there are the birthdays. Let's see. Is that it? Is that it for today?
Oh,
just about.
One thing, every once in a while I like to do shameless self-promotion of my other job. But you might want to get yourself, matter of fact, I know you want to get yourself a copy of the Valley City Times Record. A really good story today. It's kind of part one of two. We're going to do part two at the end of July. A young lady here in Valley City, she's 10 years old, 10 and a half, plays for the 10U baseball team, boys baseball team here in town, the Valley City Blues. She's going to Nevada to play in a national tournament, and it's by a company or an organization called Baseball for All, and it is just girls baseball.
Wow.
That's it. They have baseball, and it's ages 8U, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18. She's going to Sparks, Nevada, just outside of Reno, to play in this tournament. They get 5 games in. She's playing for a team out of Chicago that was needing a player.
Yep.
So she'll be on a 12U team because, like I said, she's 10 and a half. So Jocelyn Ness is her name. So we will keep an eye on that. And, again, that's in today's Times Record. But you can also – we'll get a follow-up story when she comes back from Nevada, see how it went. And that'll be the end of the month.
Doing a lot of driving lately, you know, going to senior golf and then back and forth to work and over to Valley City every Tuesday. I'm just going to say one thing. Respect our construction workers.
Yes.
We have too many people that don't respect the speed through the construction zones. It says 40, not 60,
no.
Not 70. It says 40. I don't care what kind of a hurry you're in.
Yeah.
Think about those guys.
And fines now are all 150. Across the board.
Are they really? Are they?
Well, it used to be $80.
I thought that was August 1st.
Pardon me?
I thought that was August 1st.
Well, it is August 1st.
Okay.
It'll be starting August 1st. So you got 1 month.
But in the construction zones, they are doubled.
In the construction zone, it doubled. But starting August 1st, it's going to be $150. And you got to watch what you're doing.
On my way to Valley today,
where
the rest area, doing the work on the rest area, there is a construction zone there, too.
Yeah.
Somebody got nabbed. You got to slow down. What's the rush?
Why are you in a hurry?
I don't know.
Give yourself plenty of time.
I don't get it anymore.
No.
Even driving through the Fargo-Moorhead area on the interstate, I'm doing 60. That's about as fast as I'm going to do.
And you're getting passed.
Oh, I'm standing still.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where is the fire?
I'm not.
Where's the fire?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but Come on, slow down.
And of course, the 4th of July weekend. There's going to be extra police, extra highway patrol on the highway. Also, fireworks safety. We probably should have gotten Scott Magnuson on.
Yeah, we should have.
Talked a little bit fireworks safety, but
I think people should know how to be careful with fireworks. Absolutely. You know, they blow up.
They blow up. Those are explosives, people.
Yeah, exactly.
And they get people that all
and they get bigger and bigger every year.
And so forth.
Yeah, and they get bigger and bigger every
year.
Yeah,
they do. So anyway, I'll get off my soapbox.
Me too. But I want to say hi again to some loyal listeners. Glenn, our good buddy Glenn in Minneapolis, my old football coach, Coach Elger. I know he's a faithful listener. I think he's hanging out around Bemidji, Lake Bemidji somewhere. I don't know. He must be nice.
Nice, beautiful area.
Yeah. And brother-in-law Paul, he's a faithful listener too. So we got
And Chris Lundy. We'll tell you how you can become one.
And Joe Lundy, we'll tell you how to get logged on here. Okay. Here's how you do it.
Here's how you do it.
Paul?
You go to Spotify or the Apple Podcast, and that's where you can find us on Spotify. Make sure you click the subscribe button. It's free. Don't worry. You don't have to pay anything. And that means if you click subscribe, every time we do a new show, you're going to get an alert. Hey, there's a new Toast and Jam on Spotify.
Or you can just Google it.
Or just Google
it. If you just Google Toast, letter N, jam.com.
.com.
Yeah, .com.
Yeah.
Just Google it. Just Google it, and you'll have all the episodes there.
I keep forgetting about our website. Thank you.
Yeah.
You forget about toastandjam.com.
Yeah, we have a toastandjam.com. And, people are jumping on this thing every week, and we're enjoying it.
Yep.
We thank you. Yeah. It's good stuff.
We might have if we get to 100, we get to 100 shows,
we're
going to have a huge celebration. We're at 74, 75 right now.
Yeah.
So, we're
almost 2 years,
yep.
Which is pretty amazing.
We'll have a big celebration on the 100.
I'll have the whole golf crew on.
Oh,
and
there we
everybody.
Go.
We'll just celebrate.
That'll be in January.
I'll be there for sure. There we go.
Oh,
let's see. Next week, golf is Monday in Wahpeton. Boy de Sioux, one of my favorite courses.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
And then, two states. And Wednesday is Foreman.
Did you hear in Foreman?
I was in Foreman the last time, and that was not friendly. That was a 50-mile-an-hour wind that day. The ball wouldn't even stay on the tee. Or you had to mark the ball on the green right away because it would blow away. You don't like the ninth hole? How about the 10th hole? How do you like that 10th hole? How do you like that 10th hole?
We do not have time to go through the list of what his problem is. We don't have, we don't have time for that.
I think it's time to go.
That is a problem.
I think it's time to go.
He's now a Minnesotan.
By the way, Tim and Carol at Alley Beans, thank you so much for your hospitality. Always very thankful for that. We like our new home here. It's great.
Yeah.
And they do a bang up job. Coffee anytime. It's right here. And you got the s'mores going.
I got the s'mores.
I've got that white chocolate?
White chocolate caramel mocha.
Coconut.
A coconut.
Coconut. Oh. Mocha.
Oh, the wife would like that.
She would? Okay. Yeah, I think a lot of people like that. Yep. Okay. And a big thank you to executive producer Eric Kringley. And Paul, any last words at all? I mean, I'm gonna let you get in
I have none. I have none. But be safe. Have a great 4th of July weekend. Enjoy, again, the possibility of some showers here on Friday.
Yeah.
But nothing severe. Just maybe some showers. And make sure you get out there and, Nome, they always have a fantastic 4th of July celebration.
They do.
That's where I'm going to be all day on Friday.
Red River Valley.
Sanborn has a great 4th of July.
Red River Valley Fair goes on the 4th through the 13th. Red River Valley Fair.
Yep.
And I would imagine I'll sneak out there a few times. But they got a great lineup this year, too. Kane Brown is going to be there. Sawyer Brown's going to be.
Sawyer Brown is back. I think, is on tonight or last night. I think it was already on.
Or is
he coming up?
He's coming up.
Okay.
He's coming up, yeah.
Okay.
Boys to Men, that'd be something right up your alley.
Boys to Men?
Okay, I'm sorry.
He's looking his face. I'm
The look on his face. Yeah, no kidding.
I don't know what direction you're going with that, but anyway.
I'm not going to go any direction.
Not my music, no.
Okay. Hey, be safe this 4th of July. Yeah. A lot of vehicles out there this weekend. Boat safety as well. Fireworks safety. Just slow down, please, okay? You'll get there. No matter what, you'll get there.
Exactly.
That's right. Toast and Jam saying bye-bye for now. Have a great 4th.